Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
My name is Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Jacob. Valentine's Day.
Did you ask Haley to be your Valentine? Did you
do it
properly?
I actually did. What is properly? What does that look like?
Just asking. Because I think the big debate on the internet is that like it's just an assumption that you become
Although
someone's Valentine.
I did, now that I'm thinking about it, I asked her after we were lying in bed, and I was joking that no one had asked me. Which is, you know what, actually emotionally manipulative, and you shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't. So that's the first piece of relationship advice people are going to get today.
I was doing it in a cheeky, I know this is a bad way.
In a little jokey joke. It was a little haha, but.
Forgive me a little bit, but that's why I'm turning this into a PSA. Don't do that.
Learn from Jacob's mistakes.
Yeah. So anyway, do you have a Valentine?
I haven't been asked yet as of time of recording. So we'll see.
God.
We'll see. Okay. We'll see if I have a Valentine. TBD. I'll keep you. Actually, technically my Valentine, I have two because I do have Kate who's coming to stay with me for the week. But then I also have Tom Schwartz. When this goes live, I'm hanging out with Tom Schwartz.
Right.
From Vanderpump Rules that night.
Oh, true.
Valentine's Day with Schwartzy. Wild. Never thought I'd be spending Valentine's Day with Tom Schwartz, but that's happening. So watch out for the vlog. Anyways, all to say is I know I'm going to be having drinks with Tom Schwartz, but what are you eating or drinking right now?
Okay, well, I'm throwing it back to something that is absolutely wild. Punch. Ever heard of it? It's delicious. Get yourself a little bit of lemonade.
What flavor?
You make it. I'm saying make punch. I'm not saying like buy for
Oh, like fruit
punch.
Punch.
I love that shit too.
I understand. Okay.
I'm saying get a little lemonade.
Got it.
Get a little ginger ale or a little Sprite or something like that. A little booze maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Toss a little booze in there. Cut up some oranges. It's like basically pop sangria. Is that a thing? Punch is pop sangria? Is that a
Wait,
thing?
Kind of.
Whoa, I just said that.
That's crazy.
So I'm drinking pop sangria this week.
I love that. I feel like punch is only something that comes out around like the holidays. So I like that you're
normalizing. Punch in the summertime.
Bring
in
it
the
on
February.
Whenever. In the summertime weather we're having in February.
I think it's too delicious to leave for just special occasions.
I like
and
that.
Leave it up to like a crazy aunt or something.
I can't
to
wait
make.
Till someone who listens to this works at a restaurant. We're going to see pop sangria on a menu one day. Where you're going to be like,
so.
What?
I'll come That'd and do a crazy. Review. Sarah, what about you? What are you drinking this
I'm
week?
Drinking Celsius because they're in Canada
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And this is my formal PSA because I see them sending a lot of people cases.
Okay.
I saw Shannon got cases of Celsius. Granted, Shannon has been like an OG Celsius person forever, but I'm also an OG Celsius girly, and I'm out here buying them myself at 7-Eleven.
Okay, I don't know this. Are there different flavors? Or is
There's
one?
Different flavors.
Okay.
And also, I learned because my friend came over to watch some football, and she had an American Celsius, and it's legitimately 100 grams more caffeine in an American one than a Canadian
one. Wild
with
their caffeine.
It's crazy. So like, we were comparing it, and it was like a Canadian one's like 120, and the American one's 220.
You get fired up with that.
Milligrams. Like, no wonder people have heart attacks on them. So anyways, I love Celsius. I've been drinking it. I like the sparkling orange flavor. It kind of tastes like orange pop. which okay. is good.
Ooh, yeah, delicious. I gotta try that. Sarah, what are you reading or watching this week?
As I just said, happy Valentine's Day to you all. I'm spending it with Tom Schwartz of Vanderpump Rules. And what makes me extra excited is that I'm watching Vanderpump Rules in real time for the first time.
Ooh, ever. Right.
Because I did the big binge last year and became obsessed. We all know this. And now this is my first season, season 11. It's my first full season watching in real time. So incredible. Yeah. I love it. I will say it's like a little weird just like sitting and intently watching one episode as opposed to it constantly being on in the background, which is what yeah. I'm used to. But I love getting to like read all the Discord and stuff and like see what everyone's saying on Twitter and just like all the TikToks and everything. So I feel like in it now. Like it hasn't gotten to the drama yet because it's only two episodes in, but it's getting there.
Is there some brewing, something brewing
in it's here? Gonna be brewing. It's like I was talking to some people the other day where like wait till mid-season, we'll recheck in if it's a good season or not, because you can't really judge a Bravo show until it's about halfway through.
Okay, amazing.
But it's really fun watching it in real time. How about you?
Okay, well, this week I was watching America's Love Story unfold live on my television, the Super Bowl.
Oh, I guess I also watched the Super Bowl, but like, okay.
No, but you know what? I haven't watched too much stuff this week, so I'm throwing the a Super shout Bowl. Out to
did
the Super
Bowl. Did you have
a
party, or did you go to a party, or did you just watch at home?
Well, I drank my punch at home and had a party.
Yeah, a party for two.
Did I eat a lot of food? Yes.
I love that.
Too much?
You. Probably. Yes. Yeah, I did too. I feel that.
Although it was good to have some snacks going on. Listen, both in terms of the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce love story that mm-hmm. was unfolding, but then also the other elements of the Super Bowl halftime show. Okay.
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay.
I liked Ludacris.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a big
Did you Ludacris also fan. Think it was CeeLo Green?
Yes, I was saying this to Michaela outside. I was just like, I thought this was CeeLo Green. And then I was like, I don't think so. I think that guy's too shrimpy. So then I was like, oh, who produced that song and a bunch of other stuff? I was like, oh, I think it's Jermaine Dupri.
I had to Google it to figure it out.
That's
so funny. I watched the Super Bowl, but yes, but then I watched all the videos and I'm still like yeah. how I talked about the angles of everything. Like I'm obsessed with the after party that the Chiefs had where Taylor and Travis sang Love Story to
also,
each
yeah, wait,
other.
Shout out this DJ for throwing in some remixes.
It was the Chainsmokers, not just some DJ.
Well, shout out these like underground DJs who were just
yeah,
tossing
really
some
up and coming. Swift. These up and coming DJs.
I didn't know that. That's funny.
It was crazy.
And you know what? Also, Super Bowl, it was a tight game. Oh, went into overtime. It was yeah. a good game. It was a comeback. And I bet for the first time in my life.
I lost money on the Super Bowl.
Really?
This year, so
well,
it was
I won 30 cents over all my bets. So.
Well, I mean, I broke even, but to me, that's a loss because I like winning money, not breaking even.
Okay, you know what? Let's actually jump to our next question, what we're listening to this week, because speaking of bets, I had bet on
Justin Bieber performing. No way he was ever going to show up.
Listen, I went all in on this. Not all in. I didn't bet that much money. But Haley and I bet that Somebody to Love was going to be the last song.
I bet that too, though.
Really?
I put a dollar on it. Like same. Literally $1.
Yeah, same. I was like, whoa, this is paying 28 if
yeah,
it happens.
Exactly.
I'm in for that. But no Bieber came out.
Well, he was there. He just didn't go perform. After seeing him perform at All-Star. Like, I didn't go to the concert, but after seeing the videos of him at All-Star.
Here in Toronto, like NHL. So,
yeah. I just didn't get the vibe he was going to do it.
Well, okay. Yeah, because that NHL All-Star performance was a little bit low-key, right? Pretty mm-hmm. low energy.
He'd have to dance.
I was going to say, if you are performing Somebody to Love, you better break out the purple, yeah. like... Air Force Ones or whatever
yeah,
they were.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I was listening to this week. What about you?
I've been in, I guess it's fitting because it's Valentine's Day. It's, you know, love month. I don't fucking know. But I've been listening to Lover, the album, which is usually one of my least favorite Taylor Swift albums. And that's saying like least favorite out of like the only music I listen to, right?
Are you transitioning out of your Reputation era?
No, a Reputation I listen to every single day still. I still get it with her every single day. I'm just saying I've added into the rotation more.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot that you existed and stuff. Maybe, I think it's, I've been talking a lot about how it's been such nice weather here that in general my mood is better. And all of Lover's songs are very like strutting on your way. Like, if you're in a rom-com, you're like strutting on your way to work. Like, that's kind of the energy of that album. So I've been listening to like, I Forgot That You Existed or like Paper Rings and those types of things more recently. So it just felt like fitting for Valentine's Day too.
What is one of the top songs off of that I would know? What's the most
popular
song?
You Need to Calm Down.
Delicate, is that on that?
Delicate is off Reputation.
Oh, well, okay. Retired.
This little song called Cruel Summer.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad
which just became
her
most. Did
those guys, the Chainsmokers, play that by chance?
Oh, my God. Where is Somewhere That You Went? this week.
Okay, I went up to the cottage. Everyone knows I got a cottage build on the go. I haven't talked about it in
What's
little
the
bit.
Progress? What are we at, like 80% built now?
Ooh, it's hard to say because I don't know how much time takes for some of the things. I would say probably like maybe closer to 72%.
That's not bad though.
We're getting close. My birthday is at the end of May and I am really pulling for like a May 2-4 weekend opening.
That'd be incredible.
I think we're on track right now, but I went up with my brother. We had to cut down a tree, which was like, we have some neighbors on this private road that we're on, and they were all worried about this tree that had to be cut down. And they were like, who should we hire? So my brother and I were like, let's win some points with the neighbors.
And just do like, it ourselves.
Oh, we got a chainsaw.
We're manly men.
So I went up in like my vintage Ralph Lauren polo fucking thing and picked up
in
a couple
tube
of tree branches.
Cover your ears.
Exactly.
Just
yeah, a real Toronto
big
man.
Big scarf coming around
a
your
real
head.
A real Ossington dweller went up and cut down a tree. But you know what? We got it done. God. We got that.
It
thing
was
done.
Successful. No casualties. You're all
and
good.
You know what? It was a good experience actually to go up and see the progress. It was fun. I'm excited.
I love
about
that.
It.
That's exciting.
Somewhere you went this week, Sarah?
It ended up being one of those days, you know, when it's like an accidental, silly, goofy bounce around bar day.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, again, sun was shining and I started off at Lulu. I got invited back for shouting them out on the pod.
Nice.
Shout out Lulu. One of the only places to ever follow up after I've given them multiple shout outs on the pod. Delicious. Again, as always.
Do you have a favorite cocktail?
Mine is the Nine times. Lives.
Okay.
And I'm so embarrassed because when I ordered it, I was like so confident because I know what the cocktail is, right? Because this one comes in a little cute little cat mug. And I was like, don't worry, I've been here a few times. And I go, I'll have the Seven Lives, please.
No.
So confidently. And the guy looks at me and goes, yep, the Nine Lives. And I was like,
you're like, well, I've been here twice before and I've spent two of them. So like, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, the Nine Lives is probably my favorite. I also got the, I don't remember which one. Oh, the Mai Tai comes with lime on fire.
Oh, that's
so like when I ordered that drink, I said, can I have the one that comes on fire, please? And he's like, okay. Anyways, food was delicious. They had this like cow soy noodle situation, ooh, which was so yummy and so up my alley.
Nice.
Anyway, so that was top one. Then I went to Cherry's High Dive.
Okay.
Which is like,
I've heard mixed things about this. What do you think?
Inside vibe is cool. But it's like a bunch of bros that own it.
Yeah.
And so the service, like literally they did not come to our table for an hour. And then I'll be honest, they left half of our stuff off the bill. And I was like, well, not
okay.
my fault. Like
maybe
because
a plus.
We moved tables a couple times and just like, I hate a restaurant. I actually really enjoyed Cherry's. I should say, I actually really enjoyed the vibe there. I liked the music. I felt old, but I liked the energy. I liked it, whatever. But I don't like when I walk into a place and I go, can I have a table for two? And it's an empty bar. And they're like, well, we have a bunch of reservations coming later. Like I sat there for
you're
2 hours.
You're like, I'm here now and I'm going to spend money.
100%. So luckily they got the vibe that we were going to spend money. That's why they moved us once. It was a great vibe. If the service could just be a little bit faster, I would recommend it.
Maybe they'll dial it in.
The
they're
bar
new.
Downstairs was really good. I've been to that one too. I forget what it's called, but there's also like it's not a speakeasy, but there's a bar downstairs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's also great. Anyways, went there and then we went back to my apartment, made some cocktails, played Uno. We were in an hour long
game
of Uno.
Shout out Uno, by the way.
Shout out Uno.
I'm a big fan of Uno.
We're big on stacking. That's why the games took so long. And then we ended up.
Do you stack pick up four?
100%.
You pick up eight?
Yeah.
Wow.
We stack and we stack on top of those. So we go up to one full circle around the table.
Do you stack pick up two on pick up four? Like you do multiple?
Yeah.
Wow. You're serious.
And you have to go we only do stacks until it's hit every single person around the table
and then
it wipes out.
Okay.
And yeah, that was fun. And then we just ended up going to another bar. It just like was an accidentally like fun bounce around day, which
can
I love.
I feel like I've also shouted them out. Can I give a shout out to Province of Canada who did an Uno collab?
Oh yeah, they did do an Uno collab.
Shout out.
Shout out. We didn't get invited to the event, so I don't know if we should give them a shout out.
Rescind the shout out.
Unless they want to send us. Oh my, you can tell we already recorded an episode today because we're so goofy.
Sarah, something you did this week.
I planned a bunch of my trips that are coming up for the next
year.
So, I mean, I'm talking about it in an upcoming episode, but I planned what's going to be my big post-Olympics trip. So I'm going to save that. You all can wait to listen to that one on where I'm going. You say you go as if you don't already know. Jacob knows where I'm going, but wait, you guys have to listen to the next episode where I have to do the solo app. You will find out where I'm going. But short term, I'm going to LA for a nice long weekend at the beginning of March. Going to do a Vanderpump tour.
Oh, really?
Drag Tara around there because
a self-guided one, or are they in existence?
It's self-guided. Like, I just like know all the restaurants.
How dare I ask?
A Vanderpump bar hop, and then I have a 7 a.m. flight the next day. So we'll see how that goes. Sleep amazing. On the plane. Amazing.
That's the flight you change.
To be able to do other things. Yes. And so I am going to California, and then I'm actually going twice. I'm going to Vegas in April.
Huge.
Accidentally ending up in Vegas every single year. This always happens. Here. And then I'm going to Yeehaw Nashville in May, which is why we're very excited that Beyonce dropped country music.
Yes.
Because that's going to be like, I'm going on a girls trip. And I feel like that's a very like, I was texting someone today saying it's like sparkly cowgirl. Like that's what the Beyonce music feels
like. Yeah. Last time you went, it was Jules' Bachelorette. Is that right?
Well, last time I went to Vegas. I'm not going for a girl's trip. That was Vegas. And then I went to Naomi's 30th birthday in Nashville a couple years ago, but I also went to Nashville again last year. So this, again, will be my third year in a row going to Nashville again.
Is this just like girls' trip? That's it?
That's it. No bachelorette, no birthday. No birthday, no bachelorette, no anything. It's just girls wanted to go to Nashville. And Noah Kahan's there that weekend, so maybe I'm going to go see
him. Whoa.
Yeah, I might finesse. How about you? What's something that you did?
Okay, well, I didn't do that much. And again, thank you for taking over the solo episode because I was sick.
Yeah, you were sick.
Listen, I have nothing to report, so we can move on to the rest of, the episode here. Because, yeah, I was curled up in bed with a box of tissues and clinging on to hope that
and
I
that really
get...
sucks because we had nice weather, too. So
I know.
Sick
I almost didn't
want
to open my blinds because I didn't want to be blinded.
Like, it doesn't matter when it's
sky.
Ugly and gross out. You're like, oh, I'd rather be sick right now.
Exactly.
It's like when you get sick in the summertime.
Exactly.
It's the worst. Since it's Valentine's Day, we decided to do a Valentine's-themed voicemail, relationships, relationship advice.
I'm excited, Sarah.
Everything you need to know from two relationship experts like us.
Yeah.
No, we're not relationship experts, but we're just your pals.
We've been in relationships.
We've been in relationships. We've been out of them.
Yeah.
And we're just your pals that want to give you some advice and chit-chat a little bit about love and other drugs. Nope. Love and other things.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what, Sarah? There's a little bit of tea to get our piping hot episode to start. And you know that I'm always asking for the tea. So
always
I'm excited.
Asking for the tea. So as a reminder, if you want to ask us a voicemail question, you want advice, you can either email us at talkingpastshow@gmail.com or you can follow us on Instagram, send us a note. I also, in our broadcast channels, always like look for questions as well and just want to know what you want to talk about because this show is really about you when it's voicemail. So let's dive in without further ado. Jacob's very excited to read this voicemail email that we got.
I'm excited because we got an email and not only was it just like a quick question submitted via email, this was like a serious response that, you know, needs our advice here.
Yes, it does.
So I'm going to read this here. We got, my boyfriend cheated almost 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I have no worry he's going to do it again and he's a great partner, meaning that this person, it's not going to happen again. I had to read that a couple of times. But I do feel uneasy when he goes out without me. I don't think he's going to do anything, but it gives me flashbacks, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's causing me to only want to do things together and not be apart. I don't want to be that way because we both have great friends and different interests. Help. That's a tough one, Sarah.
The only issue I have with things like this is like I have 9 different follow-up questions from
I know.
That email. You know,
especially
what I mean?
Because there's been so much time. It happened 2 years ago. They're 2 years in
the... I want to know what was the context of the cheating. Was it a one-off cheating? Was it like a full-blown relationship? Was it was it a couple times it happened? Was it because it was a night out? Like that's what... like if I was reading this, I would infer that, oh, maybe it was because of one of these like nights out, whatever.
Sure.
That's obviously then where like
the tension,
because that's like a traumatic experience. And like, if you're having to like be worried about that and relive that every time, then that's not fun. If you're just like sitting on your phone thinking, and then you're worried that you're becoming clingy then and you can't be your own individual people.
And
like,
I also wonder though, if there have been enough conversations about this specifically, because if it was just like, you kind of had an initial conversation 2 years ago and then it kind of just festered.
Yeah, like, it's like, my guess is like based off this email is that the boyfriend doesn't realize that she feels this way every time he goes out. And if he does, then like, then what's he doing to like alleviate that? You know what I mean? Like, like she said, she's the one that's worried about having to constantly hang out with him now. Because
and there are two sides to that. One being, okay, it's probably on you to bring that up, that you're feeling uneasy, mm-hmm. especially if this is a person that you're in a long-term relationship with.
Yeah, people can't read minds.
And you
want to
stay together. Mm-hmm. Exactly. They can't read minds. You're going to have to bring that up. I know it's probably going to be awkward, especially you don't want to come off as someone who's like rehashing an old fight or something like that. But if you're having current feelings of uneasiness.
About it, 100%.
Or if there's maybe like a breakdown in the trust, which clearly there is because you're having some hesitancies when they're going out solo, you're not 100% confident there. It's worth having the conversation.
100%.
And then on the other side of that coin is, I guess, are they doing things currently that are making you second guess? Well, are they maybe not treating this with as much, you know, placing as much significance on like what that action or actions had an effect on you? Mm-hmm. And they're not maybe maybe they are aware, but they're just choosing to kind of disregard, you know, building that trust back up. Or, you know, there's a lot of different things that go in here.
It's not rehashing old fights. There's a difference between like a fight over like, I don't know, the dishes that you bring up you didn't do the dishes 3 weeks ago. That, yeah. There's a difference between that and weaponizing an old fight versus saying to somebody, look, I still struggle with trust because of what you did to me.
Yeah.
What you did. Because of what you did, it makes me feel this way. And I think actually bringing that back up and having that open conversation and his reaction to it will tell you all you need to know. Because
for sure.
If you say to him, like, explain, hey, just so you know, like, I this is how I feel. I feel anxious and nervous when you go out because of what happened 2 years ago. And if he's willing to sit down and be like, do you want to wait, like, I totally understand that. Like, let's try and figure out a way to help, like solutions-based, try and help you move on, yeah. or whatever it might be. I think that's a more promising road to recovery. But my guess is if you're writing into a podcast to talk about this and this type of thing, and you haven't had that conversation, maybe you're too nervous to have it. It's because you're nervous of the reaction that he's going to have. And if he does.
And you probably know that person pretty well. And you can gauge what the reaction is going to be.
And so if the reaction is going to be, why are you bringing this up? This was 2 years ago. I thought you were over it. Whatever. Never let anyone tell you the timeline
fucking
in which you can get over. See you
idiot.
Later. Because never let someone tell you the timeline it takes for you to get over something. Because there's things that you don't even notice affect you until the years later. It's
yeah.
literally what fucking therapy is.
And probably the response that person's like, all they want in their heart is just like, oh, totally understand.
Exactly.
I can understand where you're coming from.
Let's
I'm
try and find a medium, happy yeah. medium. Like maybe it's like we hang out, like, I don't know, like I give you more of a context of what we're doing. I don't know what the solution
is
in that
sense.
You gotta
build back the trust. Maybe it's like check in, like you don't
like
want to
check-ins or
check
something.
Check in,
yeah.
I'm gonna be home at this time.
Not making
don't
her
worry.
Feel like she's the clingy one. Like he maybe checks in with her instead or something.
And listen, you also definitely need healthy boundaries in a relationship where like
for
you
sure.
are going out and doing
with
things
separate
alone.
Friends and stuff or by yourself
yeah.
exactly but there's a difference between healthy boundaries and then like feeling anxious every time
for
they
sure.
leave and you just want to stay with them because you're afraid they're going to do it again. So I think if anything, you take these feelings, you have a conversation with him about them and say, this is how I feel. And if you've had that conversation and you've exhausted it, then I think that also speaks for itself because you don't want to live in a world where you're anxious every single time your significant other leaves the house. That sounds terrible.
100%. And listen, there are a ton of other people out there who won't cheat yeah. on you. So
yeah.
like find one of the good ones if they're not ready to
Jacob
stick around.
Jacob came in and hot like, and heavy being like, I'm just going to be like, see you later.
There are a lot of different context things that are involved. But like at the end of the day, doesn't sound like an amazing person.
Well, at the end of the day, it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? Like, how are you going to feel if it does happen again? I feel like you're going to feel more
yeah.
shame on yourself that you allowed it to happen
I
twice.
Also think sometimes if people are worried about someone cheating again, there's also a little gut thing in them that's like, is something going on fishy right now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't envy being in that position. I think that's really stressful. But I do think people can't read minds. The most you can do is be open and honest with him. I hope you are at least being about how you feel and how it makes you feel. And if you can't even have that conversation, then I think it kind of says it all.
Yeah, and you sound great that you're even talking about that, right?
You sound wonderful like, because you want to talk about it and you also listen
totally,
to this podcast.
Yes.
You're wonderful. You're amazing.
We are on team anonymous email
yeah,
sender.
Yeah, we are on team anonymous email sender. And whatever you do, we will support you.
Yes.
As long as it is good for you and your mental health. I will not support bad behavior. Yeah, exactly. We also got a ton of other questions that are just a little more general, less specific to people's lives. How to know if you are ready to be in a relationship / get into one, which is an interesting question.
Yeah. Is this like post breakup that you're looking for a new love?
I think it might just be in general.
Is it just in general at the beginning of trying to find a partner to live life with?
I think it's like in general, because I mean, this is almost making it sound like you get into one relationship and then that's it for the rest of your life. And I don't want people to think that way. Because to be honest, that's how I used to think. When I was like, I had my mom when I was younger, and she knows that she said I was in high school. I think we've talked about this. She said, "Will you date to marry?" It was a throwaway comment that she said when we were in high school. My sister is here as we're recording this. She's nodding her head. She said it, and it's those things that you don't even realize stick with you. Granted, I grew up in my small town and I was like, date to marry. Well, I'm leaving this place. I'm not marrying any of these people. So I wouldn't date. Like, I literally.
Wait, yeah. How did you think about that? Not, like, you thought like, oh, I'm only going to date the person I'm going
to
marry.
Like, I would go on dates. But like, for me to be like, oh, someone's in a relationship. It's like, to me, I had to see like husband potential in them. I was making those decisions at what, 16, 17 years old. That's ridiculous. And then her and I had a conversation towards the end of high school. And she was like, I didn't mean it that way. I go, yeah, but it's just like sometimes a throwaway comment like does stick with you. And so then anyways, I went to university and I like kind of threw that out the window and like dated a bunch of guys. And like whenever, like, sounds really bad. I was like, when it got around.
Well, it doesn't sound bad.
I dated a bunch more people.
Yeah.
Because how are you going to figure out what you like in a person, what you don't like?
If you don't. Also, the end goal doesn't have to be marriage.
And exactly. In a relationship. Exactly. At any point. And so then I went kind of the other opposite end where I just went on a bunch of dates and would like, I don't know, see a bunch of like different people like for a few months here and there and see where it went. And then when I knew I wanted someone to like be my boyfriend or whatever, it was just the people, like for me, I've only ever dated guys that I was friends with first. Right. So like it just kind of ended up being the people I felt like the most comfortable with. I want to spend all my time with them. And then that's when I knew I was ready for that. But I don't think I would have known I was ready for any of that if I hadn't have gone on a bunch of dates with a bunch of different types of people first.
You have to. Yeah, that is.
And like, I don't think you ever feel ready for that, though. I feel like that's
dating sucks. Out there. Like first dates especially suck. But I think that you have to probably go, you have to follow and do first dates to figure out what you're looking for.
Exactly.
And you're not going to be able to define that.
And to define what a good first,
throw your hat in the ring.
And to define what a good first date is versus a bad one. Like, you can't go off anyone else's definitions but yourself. So like, you really need to like try on all the hats. It's like if you go to Levi's and you go home with the first pair of jeans that you didn't even really try on. Like, you're not going to know that those are the jeans that you want to be with.
Yeah, maybe you go into the store and you're just like, actually, I'm not a jeans person. I'm looking for some tearaway pants.
Exactly. And you don't know. So I don't think you ever know, quote unquote, to answer this question, that you are ready to be. I don't think you ever know that you're ready to start dating. I think you just kind of naturally have to start doing it. But I do think if it's about a specific person, you will know you are ready to be in a relationship with that person.
Yeah. Like there might be, you know, people say wrong person, wrong time, but like you might be on a date with someone and be like, oh, this is the kind of person that, you know, I want to marry and have kids with and all of this. But you also might personally be looking for at that time, like just someone to like be going to concerts with and a little bit of, you know, enjoy your early 20s with or something like that, which there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah.
And you know what? I would say like almost go into a relationship, not expecting it to end, but knowing that you could move on at any point if you grow and change and become different. I think that you're right. Like having the cap on it from the beginning that people think, oh, this is who I'm stuck with for the rest of my life is maybe the wrong way to go about it.
This kind of leads into this next question, which was, can you be friends with an ex? What's your take?
I mean, I share a dog with an ex, but I wouldn't say
that's
that
like
we're
co-parenting,
like,
though. That's a little bit different.
Not, we don't hang out.
And I think this is the thing. I think it's, can you be close friends with an ex?
No.
Absolutely not.
I would say no.
No, I don't think so either. I also think at a certain point it's disrespectful to a future partner you have and stuff like that. I think
it's also disrespectful to yourself.
Yeah, because you're always going to be comparing, or like there's like these weird like lingering,
but also like, why keep them around? You know what I mean? Just like,
so as
let yourself grow in. It's okay. This is why, because a lot of the time, if you've been in a relationship with someone for a long time, got hooks in each other a little bit, you know?
For sure.
And like the further you get away from that, the more you can become yourself, as opposed to keeping someone around as a friend. There's so much history, and I'm not even just talking about between the two of you, but you have
mutual friends,
you're hanging out, and there are ways you go about like living your life that, you know what, I think hold you back sometimes.
I agree, but so what I was gonna say is the hooks is a good analogy. So what I think is you get the hooks off, and it takes a few years for like the scars to heal. You know what I mean? Or for you to not like associate yourself with the person that you were with the other. Because I am friends with one of my exes. We were friends before we started dating, and we're all in the same big friend group. Is he in my immediate core friend group that like was playing Uno with me on Saturday? No. But the weekend before, we were at a concert together. He's there with his new girlfriend. Like, we're at it, like, it's at a good spot but it took years to get there. Like, we started dating like in the beginning of university, and I don't think
was it awkward just to start after you broke up?
Yeah, because I went and started dating one of our other friends in the friend group. So yeah, it was awkward to start, but after that it just took a while. Like, it took years until I was such a different person and he was such a different person that like I legitimately,
you can meet each other,
we've talked about before, I legitimately would say to him like, I literally do not remember anything about us dating, and he doesn't either. Like, it's so far removed now because we're so different, and now we're able to like be friends and like be like show up for each other's events or this or that. Like, it's nice now because it's like no awkwardness and weirdness.
Yeah.
It's to a point where I legitimately forget that we ever dated, and I think that's like the really healthy, like, fully you had moved on, moved past and everything.
For sure.
But I don't think you can be friends immediately with an ex. And I also don't think you can be friends with an ex if they like did something like really bad to you. Like, I think that's too like not unfair.
If they cheated on you 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. No, but 100%. But yeah. I think there is a world where you can be friends or friendly with an ex, like in a group setting. Like, we've been at weddings in like Calgary and stuff where we've like done a travel date and all that stuff.
We've also talked about this on the podcast previously. It's just like, don't make your ex a villain.
100%.
Even if they maybe did do something, you know, pretty bad. No, I take that back. If they did something bad, make them
the villain.
But in general, don't make them the villain, because that's not going to serve you
100%
at any.
And especially if you like had mutual friends, or you're going to be going to the same weddings as you go, or you're going to meet like concerts together, like things like that. Like, it just makes your life easier. So you can be friends with an ex. I just think it takes longer than people expect.
And
like, I wasn't
have to
saying
be on the same page, because you also have to respect, like, exactly, if they don't want to be friends with you, like, especially if you were the heartbreaker and you broke up with them. It's just like, give them the space. Don't try to become a friend with them.
Exactly. And I think that's where like you have to be. That's such a good point. You have to be at the same spot. And it's not like I'm saying 1 year. Like, it took like years before it was like a place where truly good, on a good level. So I just think you can do it. It just takes more time than people think.
For sure. Okay, next question. Advice on dating in Toronto or a big city?
So I'll let you take this one away to start, because when I dated people 9 million years ago, because I feel like I'm old and I've been in a relationship for forever, the apps was how I would talk to people.
Yeah.
But also note, I was in university. So what would I do? I was poor and I wanted dinners, so I would go on dates with people so I could get meals and feed myself,
which is a great idea.
If
no one has a Valentine right now,
gonna use the patriarchy, you got to use it in your like against it goes against you got to use it for yourself once in a while. But I have lots of friends that are living in the Toronto dating world, which is just very funny, because even on the apps, like, Toronto's so small. Like, it's a big city, but it's so small. So,
like, I've never dated in a small town, but Toronto feels like that. There are millions of people here. However,
the pool is smaller.
The pool is small, and you're probably, if you're, you know, a rock climbing visual artist, you're probably not going to be looking for like a finance person.
That's true.
There's a little bit of crossover there, but ideally you want someone with like similar interests. Maybe you work in the same field-ish, so you can understand each other a little bit. Or you have crossovers of different music, like in this and that. So it feels like,
but it's also people but even like the age range crosses over. Because like, as an example, one of my like best friends just started dating this guy, and like, he's best friends, like best man in my other friend's wet, like, it's like crazy stuff like that happens, where it's Toronto is so small. But I love when that happens, because then you automatically have like a vet, like,
yes,
in the sense 100%. Of like, oh, if they're friends with these people that I like, oh, then like, that's our, it's less random than going on a date with a total stranger.
Yeah.
But there's also pros to Toronto being so small, because you could just, I don't know, like meet people through like random, like soccer or this or that, like random events. But did you meet Haley through Hinge?
We did meet on Hinge. Yeah, I would recommend it.
I feel like Hinge is where people take it a little bit more seriously now.
Yeah, I never really messed around with Tinder because I was in a long-term relationship into my, I guess, like mid to late 20s. And then, so the like dating scene, I didn't have any of the apps was when I was in that long-term relationship. So it was a new experience for me.
So one of the things about Toronto, but it being so small, which is great, is that we were just saying that you can actually do like a DM slide too, which DM is less huge. Weird. DM slides are big, and it's less weird if you have like mutuals with the people.
Yeah.
So I think it just again, it's makes it more realistic. It's a vet. Exactly. So I have friends that just that saw a guy on an Instagram story just like this past week.
Yeah.
And then reached out and was like,
like not a celebrity, just like a person.
No, just like a person in like a friend. Yeah, friend. Like as if I posted an Instagram story about you and somebody like
no way.
Replied and was like, hey, are they single? And then just followed, and then he actually replied, like,
no
reached out to her
way.
Quickly. And now they're gonna hang out.
Oh, that's huge.
So I like think it's a vet already. And it's like a confidence thing. Like most people don't want to be on the apps or like whatever. They want to be like just like talk to you and whatever. So I think a DM slide sometimes is even like a better way to do it.
Yeah, and I would almost rather someone see my story or see someone else's story
and be like,
to get
a
more authentic view. Like, you know when you're curating with 6 photos on an app or something like that and like picking, there's nothing I hate more than the prompts.
Yeah, I
prompts
hate them
too. Prompts are stupid. Like, let me see what you're actually posting to your grid. Do you have any reels?
Yeah.
What do your TikTok likes look like?
I feel, but it's like a real life swipe. Right, which sounds so stupid because it's still on like an Instagram story. But I think the DM slide is underrated, especially for you girls. Like women, slide in the DMs. Men also like to be approached first. And if anything, I literally made a TikTok today. I was going to post it. The times my life has worked with the best for me is when I've been the boldest in my life.
100%.
And when you're bold, it's even if it feels like it's going against everything in your being, even if it's just fault, like you can't just follow and like his photos. Guys, they don't understand that. They don't get it.
But you're also placing the expectation on someone else. Sees life.
But it's almost like if you're bold in your approach, then one, if they like don't respond to it, then like whatever, like no loss. But two, it's like then you're just giving yourself more opportunity. And so I think like when you're bold, you're rewarded for it a little bit more.
That's great advice, because no one's doing that.
No one's bold.
But everyone will. I feel like the response rate is going to be pretty high. And like
100%.
Maybe you don't get a date, but like
you'll get a response.
Or you get an Instagram follower. You
know? Exactly. Exactly. Like who's not going to respond to someone that puts themselves out there like that?
For sure.
Like only people that are like the lowest low of the life and world, and like you don't want to be with those people anyways, and that's already an immediate vet for you. So instead of watching their curated bullshit, be bold, send them a message first and see what happens. Who knows? Be bold. Change the font from regular to bold.
I feel like everyone should also have to record a TikTok day in the life vlog.
That should be the prerequisite.
Just send someone that.
I wish that'd be hilarious. When using dating apps, how long should you wait before going on a date? Okay. When my girlfriends are talking to people on dating apps, my immediate rule is get off the app as soon as freaking possible and don't talk too much on the app. If you're not getting a date, if we're not getting a date offer in the first like couple hours of chit-chatting back and forth, I don't want to see more than 10 messages back and forth. Then wasting time, see you later. Why are we here? We're wasting. Like you should not be having a full conversation before you go on the date.
Yeah.
Your first date, if you want to truly replicate what dating old school used to be like, when you would go up to someone at a bar and just get their number and then go on a date with them, then you can't talk on the apps.
It's also so annoying. Yeah. I would get blocks of text sometimes on the apps and I'd be like, oh, it's really too bad.
Yeah,
it's really too bad because you're about to get ghosted on this app because I don't want to read all that.
No.
Is it interesting?
Probably.
But is it something I want to hear in person over drinks?
Absolutely.
Yes. I want to hear your personality in that. Don't entertain me with a little story written in your notes app that you copied and pasted and sent after you got all the grammar right.
Yeah.
Listen, I appreciate the attention to detail, but I'd rather be on a date.
So this next question is really interesting. It's what do you do if your friends don't like your significant other? And then there's another part B. How do you tell a friend that you don't like their significant other?
Have you ever been in this position?
Mm-hmm. You don't do it. You can't. Unless they are in danger.
Right.
Or truly, the thing is, I found that most of the friends that know they're dating someone shitty won't ask your opinion of them because they kind of know. Unless they are in a danger, harmful like situation, most people are going to learn from themselves. And like the last thing, a horror nightmare I would have is if I talked a bunch of shit and then they get married and I have to like be like, well.
Yeah, what's the upside to talking shit?
The only time I've ever truly like been like, I despise this person is because the stuff he did to like one of my best friends was so, and the things he said to her were so horrible, I could never look past it. But the thing is, she knew. The reason she never talked to me about him is because she knew that it was like staying in a bad situation. And the day that she dumped his ass, she called me and was like, but like I didn't like she's like, I just need you to know first, but it's like finally over. And I went like, I just went like, good. Yeah. Like I'm happy for you. Not like a I told you so or a thank God. Like it was,
but
just
it always
like
happened,
but it
right?
always happened. So I just I don't think it's a win-win situation to be like, I hate your like or whatever. What you really don't want to do is like bitch with the other friends about it either. That makes it like worse. I just think it's like, let people be, and if it's not a dangerous, harmful situation or they're not affecting their like mental health or anything like that, you kind of have to let them figure it out for themselves.
Okay, but what about if you're in a relationship and you know, because your friends are chatty and they told you, how do you deal with that? Because if your friends, if you know your friends dislike this person that you're with, how do you deal with that?
I don't know.
Do you get new friends? You like cast them out?
Do you cast them off the island? Well, I think at a certain point then, I think that's a fair question though, to be like, maybe look at why your friends dislike this person. Are they valid reasons? Is it jealousy?
Are they valid friends?
Are they? That's what I'm saying.
Tori like, Webster, are they? Which tier are they in? Which
always go back to Tori's friendship tier. Are you taking opinions from tier three people that don't actually know your significant other?
Exactly.
Because then it's duck off water off a duck's back. Like we don't care about that. But if it's like your closest friends and there's valid concerns being raised,
they hold their opinion pretty highly. Maybe
exactly. I think we got to take a look a little bit and like be a little bit more critical of ourselves. But also, yeah.
Would
take
you
a
tell
look
your
at
significant he- other if like a friend came to you and be like, I don't like this person. Would you advise talking to your significant other about that?
Oh, I
like,
don't know.
Hey,
what about you?
This person doesn't like you.
I probably would. I probably would. I'm trying, like, I just don't think I'd ever put myself in that situation because, like, if my friends who are my closest, dearest tier ones told me that they really hated someone or disliked them, then, like, I wouldn't be working out anyways.
There's also
and then,
a difference between, like, absolutely hating someone
and finding
just
someone,
not
like, annoying
to
or
spend
vibe.
Time.
And
yeah,
also,
yeah, yeah.
like, they, not all friends. And like people have to like mingle all the time. Maybe
for
it's
sure,
like,
and that's what I was gonna say. It's just like, you know what? Maybe we don't hang out around that friend.
Maybe you don't
because
vibe.
I love going and watching like reality TV with this friend, but I know that they don't jive with my partner.
Yeah.
So like maybe we don't have Christmas
for
dinner
sure.
together.
Because you're not always gonna like, not all of your friends, your partners are gonna like mash up really
totally.
Well. Like it's great when it does work. It's amazing when it does work out that you can go on double dates or do any of that stuff. But like, it's just not the reality. So I think just make sure you're paying attention to who you're listening to these opinions from. And if it is like your dearest friends, see if they're valid, see if they're surface level. Like you can be an adult and dictate in your head, like whether they're valid opinions
or
not.
Or if you know your friends and your partner don't like each other, you could really stir the pot and like get everyone to an all-inclusive resort and tell them and then have like a competition of who stays, who goes.
I wasn't even going to say tell them. I just was, as someone's been to an all-inclusive resort with a big group of friends, honestly, that will just solve it for yourself. It will just, everything it does, it figures it out. It figures itself out. A big group trip will always do that.
Okay, Sarah, next question. How do you know when you're ready to move in with a partner? And there are two parts to this. What are important things to discuss before moving in? And how to spend time alone after you've decided and actually done it.
Okay, so first part, I think it's really important if you have the privilege to do so. I understand that like sometimes financial, I just really don't want you to move in with someone just because of financial situation.
Okay, like this is my thing too. It's just like don't move in together because of convenience.
Okay, so that's what I was gonna say, but I understand that sometimes a privileged place, because like this is an expensive city and sometimes it's like, it just doesn't make sense anymore.
You're making ends meet already, you know what I mean?
I guess, like, no, I know. I just want to say that caveat, but don't move in because of convenience. Because of like, oh, it's going to be cheaper for us to like live together. Like this, it's never, that's not worth it. Like
It should be because of positive reasons and of, you're like, we ready. Want this yeah. lifestyle together mm-hmm. to do this and we want to do that. And you're moving toward goals 100%. As opposed to, casting a safety net. And I know that like the safety net comes along with it because it is a little bit cheaper sometimes when you're living with a partner. It's a little bit easier. You're not like traveling all back and forth a lot of the mm-hmm. time, depending on how far apart you live from one another.
And I know people would be like, oh, we spend every night together. It's different. It doesn't matter. It's still your space and their space. It's different.
And having like the fallback of your space.
It's so big. Different. It's massive. And like, I also am a big proponent on do not, especially with men, maybe women too, but with anyone, do not be their first roommate. Don't do it.
Oh yeah.
So okay. I know a lot of people that, right out of university or whatever, if they were like commuters or whatever, their first time living with another human is living with their significant other.
Never lived with anyone else.
You're going from home.
That's a good point.
To someone with going with your significant other. Do not do that. One, I feel like you have to like, it's like you're on your own, kid. You have to like learn a little bit. Like I had to learn about burning rice in the microwave on my own with my university roommates, like my girlfriends. And we like, also those were some of my most fond memories, like living with them and like figuring stuff out and learning to cook and everything.
Everyone's kind of figuring things out.
And everyone's figuring it out. I've never seen it work where they go from your like a parent's house to then immediately living with a significant other and it working out long term, because you wonder sometimes then why, like, oh, why does it feel like I'm like you're babying them or like you're like their mother or something? And it's because if they've never known any different, then people are creatures of habit. Did they're naturally going to fall into the habits that they've been doing before.
Did you see the girl who went viral on TikTok and she's just like, my boyfriend is moving out to live with his brother? And people like blew that up and they're like, whoa, this isn't a good sign. No. And then they checked in on her recently and she's not in a relationship anymore.
No, of course. Because
they were first time roommates.
But that's the thing. It's your first time. And so like you're also then you have no resentment of like ever wanting to live with a roommate or doing that experience, living on your own, whatever it might have been.
And
but
figure I really out think, what's important to you.
But simple things like laundry and dishes, all these things about like you don't realize how many fucking chores there are even in an apartment until you have to live like on your own, whether it's with roommates or whatever, and you're doing it for yourself, you know, if your parents are there to help you, whatever it might be. And so I just really think it takes two adults who have been like doing that already on their own before you can come together and you figure out where you balance. I hate doing the dishes. Luckily Nolan doesn't mind the dishes and that's a chore he'll gladly do. Yeah. And like you go back and forth because you've figured it out already.
In terms of things to discuss, that's probably number one. Division, expectations,
divisions of labor.
Yes, exactly. Another one that I would toss in there is finances. You know, you got to have an expectation.
Which like you should be having before, because if you're renting as an example, you should be like knowing like what your budget's going to be. You need to have an expectation of
for
that.
Sure.
But also talking about debts and things like that. Also people, let's be real. The second you've been living with someone in this province, in Ontario, but in Canada, most places too, for at least 6 months to a year, you then become common law. So you have to be like willing to understand that like if things do get messy, like there is a certain point where you like there could be a division,
an entitlement to assets
for sure. So that's why like being upfront with money and expectations and who owns what and what and like all of that is so so important at the very beginning.
And those are hard conversations to have, but you know what, it's harder to go in blind and like figure that stuff
out.
It's
a little awkward at the beginning, but you'd rather like have that silly conversation. Like I remember when Nolan and I were buying furniture, we didn't split the cost of any furniture. He bought the couch, I bought the table, like whatever it might be. And it was literally just because what if this doesn't work 6 months down the road? Oh, then at least you know who owns what. Granted, it's been like 3 years now, so we've like changed it a little bit and like we would figure it out. But at the very beginning, we were pretty clear on like, okay, just in case, like, I feel like it's important to know who owns what stuff. So it was very early on we did that. But also goes to finances is another question is like,
right, yeah.
Do people split? I get this question on TikTok fucking so much, which is so wild that people are so fascinated about.
Well, the big one is like splitting 50-50 if you're in a relationship or splitting based on your income.
I think it depends on what you're comfortable with. I think it's different for everyone. I'm in a situation where we split like rent and household things all 50-50 because our income's pretty similar.
Yeah.
Like it's not like one of us is making such astronomically more money than the other that it like would deem that. But also we don't nickel and dime it and keep track of everything. Like oh, you got the Costco run, I'll grab this, like this Sobeys run, like whatever it is. Like we just go back and forth and it's not like line in the sand. Like, oh, you owe me $7 because yours was more expensive.
For some people though, that works. But for I know a lot of people who use like a full on app that I forget what it's called, but to split things like that. And they've decided what goes, what categories fit within the 50-50 split. And then it's kind of at the end of the month, you kind of pay the
budgeting. So that's why I would never be good at that.
I know that wouldn't work
for me. And it's good for me, but it's like, you're right though. That does work for some people. I know some people do decide to have a shared bank account. I don't split any credit cards, bank accounts, any of that stuff with my partner. But I do know some people decide to do that because they like to pool money and like they pool that for like things for the home. Like they'll buy like laundry detergent and those types of things on the shared bank account. So then it's like,
and those are all like the necessary expenses. But I would say for anything above like the everyday necessities, it maybe does make sense to go proportion to your income, because then the conversation is like, okay, what lifestyle do you want to have? It's like, is this the person that you want to be spending a lot of your time with? Probably, because you're in a relationship with them. You want to travel? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? It's like maybe your dollars go a little bit further if isn't an expectation for the person. If there is someone who earns less, to maybe not be contributing the exact amount that you
want. And I completely agree, especially when it, and it's like, and it ebbs and flows and it changes, right? Like when Nolan was in law school, like when it came to, I don't know, dinners or this or that, like I would pick up the bill more because I was working. Like I was working. He wasn't. It was like putting on debt at law school. So it just wouldn't even make sense. Like, why would I like feel good about that necessarily? Like when you're trying to like create something long-term, that just wouldn't even make sense to me.
Well, at the end of the day, it's just like, you're probably wanting to look at this, that you're on the same team, regardless of what your split is, is that you're purchasing things and choosing to divvy up your money for the benefit of both of you as opposed to individually.
Exactly. I will say the hardest part about moving in with someone is changing the mindset. I always say my bedroom still. It's so, you grow up with a bedroom your entire life, and it's really difficult for me to get a hold of not saying my room.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I feel like when you grow up, your room is like your safe space.
Yeah.
But so I just want to touch on actually the one question that came with like moving in together about how do you still have time individually for yourself? You just make it. Like, it's not like you're like moving in together is not date night every night. If anything, you need to make more of an effort to like make dates and make date night and do that type of stuff. For me, like my me time is like my baths and my books and all of that stuff where I just like need to close the door and like recharge and totally be by myself. And again, that just all comes from open communication. Like I communicate when I just like need solo time. It's not anything out of like a being mad at someone or like,
yeah, it's not like I resent you. I need you in my face. It's
exactly. It's just that this is home to me too. It's home to both of us. And like, I need to be able to recharge in my home that way as well. So just honestly, the solution to every single problem that we've talked about today is communication.
Yeah.
Every single one, because people can't read minds and you need to tell people what you want in life. I feel like that could have been the entire episode. We could have just said, talk to people.
And slide into those DMs.
And slide into those DMs. I feel like we gave some decent advice today.
How about you? Yeah.
I think so. We'll let you guys be the judge of that. Thank you so much for submitting voicemail questions. As always, you can reach us at Talking Fast Show on Instagram or talkingfastshow@gmail.com. And we come out with new episodes every single Wednesday. Happy Valentine's Day. If you don't have one, we'll be your Valentine's today. And we'll see you later. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.